We're up to Eicha, the first chapter, the eighth pasuk. Chet chatea Yerushalayim. Jerusalem has transgressed. She has mistakenly sinned. Al kein l'nidahayata. That's why everyone distances themselves from her, like a woman who is having her menstruation. That's why she is in exile. Nida could mean a woman in menstruation. Nida could mean one who flows out, that she herself was exiled, flowed out of her land. Kol mechabedeha hizilua kira'u ervata. All those who had previously honored her, now they look down upon her, they scorn her, because they've seen her revealed. Gam hinencha v'tashovachor. And she too sighs as she turns away in shame. Again, the metaphor is of a woman who has revealed herself, and so long as she was covered and dressed modestly, everyone respected her and valued her. And when she thought she would get more honor by revealing herself, the contrary is true. She was cheapened in everyone's eyes when she revealed herself. So to Israel, who was honored because they were different, because they were monotheistic, because they had retained their tradition, their observance, but when they thought to be like the nations, when they removed all that honor, all the mitzvot Hashem gave them, so you want to be like us, you're not good, you're not as good as us. Then the nations look down at them. Tumata vishuleha. The Navi describes it as though she is stained with her menstrual blood, as her garments get stained. Her defilement is seen at the bottom of her clothing. Lo zachera acharita. She didn't remember where things would lead to. Vatered pilaim. It's like a woman who goes on the trip and doesn't bother bringing along a pad or a tampon or something. Suddenly she finds herself not in so much fun. She's embarrassed. There was once a woman on a bus, a girl. She got up off her seat and suddenly there was a puddle of blood under her. She had started menstruating, and some people, that comes down like a Niagara Falls. And she wasn't prepared. So the Navi is describing that the Jewish people are like that, where suddenly they're embarrassed. Why didn't you think about that beforehand? And again, this is a metaphor for the sinful ways of the people, which ultimately brought about their destruction. And they, when they were having a good time, they didn't think, hey, ultimately I'm going to pay for this. There's going to be a time when my potential that's unrealized will ultimately come out to destroy me. So the just like menstruation is wasted potential, the woman could have had a child. She didn't get pregnant, so then it comes out in the bloody form. So too, the Jewish people had all this potential, the beauty, the honor, the greatness of Jerusalem was not so that we would use it to buy into relationships with other nations. And when we did not utilize our uniqueness and our blessings in the land of Israel, so it all came back to haunt us as we were devoid of our values and ultimately devoid of our honor. And that's the metaphor of the defilement being at the bottom of her clothing. She didn't bother thinking where it would all lead to, and so she fell tremendously and no one would comfort her. They were looking down at her at this point, and the pasuk concludes with Re'e Adonai eton yi kigdil oyev. Hashem, take note of how I am being put down and how the enemy is being so arrogant as they put me down. Yes.
So does that mean, Rabbi, based upon what we said about
for sure. That's the famous saying. If God asks me, why aren't I the Rambam? I have an answer. I wasn't given the Rambam's tools. If God asks me why I wasn't the gra, I have an answer. I wasn't given the gra's brains. If God asks me why am I not Nathanael Frankenthal, then I have a big problem. That's not my line. It's, I think, Rav Zusha's line. He didn't say about Nathanael Frankenthal. Yado paras tzar al kol machmadeha. Nebuchadnezzar the wicked stuck out a sword and killed all the most precious people in the city. He threw his sword, he cut open the stomachs of pregnant women. It says there was a tree that on every branch there were 9 babies hanging dead. There was a rock on which you had piles and piles of babies' brains that were bashed to death. Nebuchadnezzar was merciless. So Yado Paras Tzar, the enemy, extended his hand al kol machamadeh on what was most precious to Jerusalem. Kirata goyim ba'u mikdasha. Israel wails, for now she sees how Gentile nations are entering her holy temple. Asher tzivita lo yavo v'kahal lach. Nations that we were commanded through Moshe that we are prohibited to allow them to enter our people, let alone our temple. These are our neighbors, the Ammonites, the Moabites. When the temple was being destroyed, they volunteered to attack the Jews. They said, you don't have to pay us. They knew that the Torah says you may not marry someone from Ammon and Moab, and that's why they were the most zealous in pursuing the Jews in the destruction. They would look for wherever they could find a Sefer Torah in order to destroy it. Kol ha'menachim mevakshim lechem. The people of Jerusalem are sighing of hunger. Jerusalem fell, both in the destruction of the first and the second temple, because of the siege, because of the hunger inside the city. Natenu machamadehem be'ochel la'ashiv nafesh. They gave what was most precious for them. They gave for bread. It says they used to give Sifrei Torah in order to get bread. They used to give up their children in order to get bread. Re'e Adonai ve'habita ki hayiti zoleila. Hashem, look at me, says the Jewish people. I've been driven to insanity out of hunger. I'm at a point where all I can think about is what can I eat? That's what's called zoleila. Lo aleichem kol ovrei derech. I swear this shouldn't happen to you. Habitu ureu. Because look, take note. Im yesh machov kemachovi. Has anyone ever suffered like me? Has any nation suffered like the Jewish people? Asher olal li. Has anyone done to others what's been done to me? Jerusalem is saying, you can't comfort me. Usually when something happens to a person, other people come and tell them, you know, something similar happened to me, something similar happened to so-and-so, people have been through this. Well, Jerusalem says, no one can comfort me like that. Asher hoga Adonai beyom charonapo. What Hashem has done to me on the day of his anger. And so the Navi is referring to the loss of their children. Jewish children were taken into forced prostitution. Children were taken from their parents and they had no clue where the children were. Jerusalem says, this was all done to me when Hashem was angry at me because of what we did wrong. Yes?
Is that, you're saying that it was so bad now that you're not, that no one was able to comfort them. Is that why God told Yeshayahu before the destruction when they were not as miserable, nachamu nachamu ami. Because during the next generation, during Yirmiyahu, it was so bad that they wouldn't be able to be comforted.
No. That deserves a separate class about nachamu nachamu ami. That's a good question. No. That's Chazal say on the contrary. Nachamu nachamu ami yomar elokechem. Hashem says, ultimately, I will comfort you. Because no one else can. There's, it's a long answer. What I said was a condensed version. Mimarom shalach eish be'atzmotai vayirdena. God sent a fire from heaven into my bones, says Jerusalem. Meaning, the simple interpretation is the cities were destroyed from above. My bones is my fortification, that Hashem caused the cities to be destroyed from within. Chazal tell us that when our enemies wanted to burn down the temple, they couldn't get the fire going. And angels came down and said, here, I'll show you how. Hashem himself partook of the destruction of the temple. Mimarom, from above. Shalach esh ba'atzmotai. Hashem sent a fire to my bones. Vayirdena, and so Hashem destroyed, put down the temple. That's what Chazal say. A heavenly voice came out and said, you ground up flour. And you're taking pride as though you destroyed the temple. It's as though someone takes flour that's already been ground and grinds it all over again. So too, the heavenly voice says, Kemach tachun tachanta. You ground flour that's already been ground. In heaven, God already decided to destroy it. So yeah, you came and you did what Hashem had already decided. Paras reshet liragla yeshiva niachor. He spread out a net for my feet. He pulled me back. Netanani shomima kolayom dava. And Hashem has made me desolate. All day I am ill and weak. And this is the description of the Jewish people. That's why it is so exciting to see that we've merited something that hasn't happened in millennium. Even in the Second Temple period, we did not have an organized army. You want to be more Zionistic, less Zionistic, you have to recognize that from a historical perspective, what we have today, a Jewish army, is something that did not exist for a few millennium. Going back to the First Temple period, we never had an organized army. This idea happens to be revolutionary. That the Jewish people as a people have an army is something that didn't exist. The Maccabees were not an army. It was guerrilla warfare. They brought in the Romans to help them. They did other things. But, yes.
So why does the Torah state that you have to be 20 to be enlisted in the army if you don't organize the army?
It's not that we didn't want an organized army. It's that we weren't able to have an organized
army.
The
Torah set up the system so we organized, right?
The Torah set up a system where we live in Israel and have things the way we should. Okay? Takes time to get there. Niskad ol pishai biyado. My transgressions became the tool of punishment in Hashem's hand. Yistarigu alu al tzavari chshil kochi. And so my own transgressions became like weeds, like a vine that grows around and traps a person. That's how the Jewish people describe my own transgressions grew upon me. Yistaregu, they became like branches, like vines that grew over my neck and sapped my strength. Netanani Adonai bidei lo'uchalkum. And Hashem gave me in the hands of an enemy against whom I could not stand up. And so this is a description of how our transgressions, the people were guilty of murder. The courts were guilty of compliance with the murder. the courts would not take the wealthy to task over their murder because they feared the wealthy. This happened in the first temple. This happened in the second temple. When Shammai was head of the court and the king's servant Herod was guilty of murder, and Shammai wanted to persecute him, and Herod walked into the court, Herod wouldn't come. And so Shammai summoned the king and he said, "Your servant killed. Your servant is going to be tried." And so the king said, "Okay, we'll summon him." Now Herod was buddy-buddy with the Romans. So Herod showed up with a legion of soldiers into the court, all of them armed and dangerous. And Shammai said, "We're judging you, and you're going to get those soldiers out of here now." And Herod said, "I'm not interested in what you have to say. I want to hear the other members of the court say what you just said." And so Shammai turned to his right, and the members of the court were silent. And Shammai turned to his left, and the other members of the court were silent. And Shammai looked at them and said, "Ba'alei machshavot atem. You are people who are allowing yourselves to have other thoughts other than the justice of God. You have other thoughts? Well, then God will take you to task over those thoughts." And that whole court was assassinated by Herod. Herod ultimately took his political prowess and murdered the Jewish king and took the throne. He took his legion and then murdered the rest of the court. Shammai was already in the grave. But Shammai had told the people, he had told the court, "If you don't participate in judging him, then God will repay you for your political calculations." So the Navi that describes here, "My own transgressions became the vines that sapped my strength, that grabbed me by the throat." The Navi is describing both the destruction of the first temple, the compliance to murder on behalf of the courts, and the destruction of the second temple. Sila chola birai Adonai bikirbi. Hashem trampled all of my brave soldiers within me. Kara alai moed lishbo bachurai. Hashem designated a time when my chosen youth would be broken. Gat damach Adonai livtulat bat Yehuda. The Virgin of Judea was trampled like a wine press. And so Chazal describe the bloodshed that was happening at the hands of the Babylonian soldiers, where it says also in Josephus, there were streams of blood from the murder of young men and young women. There's an allusion here, it's a euphemism, where sometimes intimacy or the act of copulation is also sometimes described as trampling on grapes, beating down on grapes. So the virgins of Judea were trampled like in a wine press. Al eile ani vochia, I weep over these. Eini, eini yored hamayim, my eye continuously tears. Ki rachak mimeni menachem meshiv nafshi, because the comforter is so distant from me. And perhaps here we have an allusion to the Mashiach, which according to one opinion in Chazal is going to be called Menachem, the comforter. There is a custom that if a child has their circumcision, their brit milah, on Tisha B'Av, then they are named Menachem. Tisha B'Av is the time where the month changes its name, right? We know this month is called two names, Menachem Av. The first part of the month till Tisha B'Av is called Av, and the second part of the month is called Menachem. So Tisha B'Av is the turning point. Menachem, the comforter. So Mashiach is also called Menachem. My eye tears because Menachem, the comforter, is distant from me. Hayu vanai shomimin ki gavar oyev. My children were desolate. My children were wiped out because the enemy has overcome. You will see that one of the things that children rely on their parents for is a sense of security. It's fascinating. When I was going to the United States, so our 4-year-old, 5-year-old daughter said, "Abba, who's going to watch us from terrorists?" And I was thinking, yeah, I'm watching you from terrorists. I'm in Machon Meir at night. I'm doing something here. But there's that sense of security. You're around. Who's going to watch us? Well, I said, don't worry, their Bon Shalom watches you. You know? So she was very happy. She said, oh, their Bon Shalom's watching us. Okay.
You didn't put your hand on that little kid's because he thought that he already knew what he was talking about. So he took your hand and put it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So when the Navi describes Hayu Vanai Shomemin, my children were desolate ki gavar oyev, there's this sense that children always look to see my daddy's gonna win. Rav Soloveitchik describes how he would go to sleep at night listening to his father tell the story. He was giving a shir in Rambam. And his father would be saying, well, the Rambam said this and how does it work? And he'd be attacking the Rambam from this side and that side. And he'd be a little boy lying in bed listening to the shir and waiting to see the Rambam, the underdog, come out victorious in the end. And he'd always try to stay up for that happy ending, how his father was able to answer how the Rambam did make sense, where the Rambam was coming from. So in Rav Soloveitchik's mind, the Savior was to save the Rambam. Children, that's one of the greatest security that children want, says Yirmiyahu, when the enemy won, Hayu Vanai Shomimin. So the children became desolate. Peres HaTzion B'yadeham. When a person waves their hand in sorrow, Zion waves her hands in sorrow. Ein Menachem La. She has no comforter. Tziva Adonai LeYaakov Sivivav Tzarav. Hashem commanded that the enemies from around would attack. God could have placed us in Mozambique. We could have been a country out in Uganda. There are countries all over the world that have many more people than us. How come you barely see China in the news? Unless they send a unmanned vehicle into American airspace. You know, if China is going to do something with their banking industry, they make it to the news. How often does China hit the news? Once a week? Once every other week? How often is Israel in the news? Every day? Every other day? How many more people are there in China than in Israel? Why? Why are they so busy with us? Their Bon Shalom put us in a place where we would be center stage. Why are we called there? It's Canaan. So Chazal tell us that it was an honor to Canaan because one of his children said, if God said you guys own the land, we're leaving. So the Girgashi, one of Canaan's children, packed up and left out of respect. So we, good question, I don't know. I don't know why we don't call it Eretz HaGirgashi. Perhaps because Girgashi was only one component. But the simple understanding is that the word Kenan in Tanakh means merchant. Kenan v'yadomo zanei mirima. La shok ahev, the verse says. Kenan is the scale that the merchant uses. Kinaneha. So the word, the land of Canaan, yeah, because we're on the trade route. This is where the merchants pass through. Canaan, Hashem put us in the center, in the hub, where things would be happening. Well, Tziva Hashem liYaakov sevivav tzarav. Hashem commanded that the enemies would surround Yaakov. And wherever we went, we had enemies around us. We were out in Babylon, so the Ammonites and the Moabites were our neighbors. Our old enemies were there all over again. And they gave us trouble. The Talmud says in Tractate Kiddushin, wherever we went, we had enemies there to irk us. Hayeta Yerushalayim Lenida Beinehem. Jerusalem was like a woman who's having her menstruation, where people instinctively keep a distance from her. Well, that's how the nations have always treated us. Tzadik hu Adonai kifiu mariti. This pasuk, Chazal tell us, is an interjection. We state it. We say, God is righteous. We rebelled against him. But Chazal say this pasuk predated Yirmiyahu by decades. God told us that so long as we're pious, no enemy would enter the land of Israel. Well, Paro Necho, Paro the cripple, was friendly with Yoshiyahu, the Judean king. Yoshiyahu was a pious king. Yoshiyahu was confident that so long as he is pious and he ensures the people are pious, then no sword could pass through the land of Israel. And so when Paro exited Egypt en route to a different battle, and he wanted to pass through Israel, Yoshiyahu sent him word and said, you're not passing through here, because the Torah says that if we keep the Torah, no sword will pass through our land. And even though you're not fighting us, even that won't pass through our land. And we're keeping the Torah, so you're not passing through here. Paro sent back and said, we're friends, Yoshiyahu. Why are you waging war with me? I'm not interested in fighting you today. And Yoshiyahu said, I have adhered to the Torah. You may not enter through my land. What Yoshiyahu failed to do was to ask the prophet, am I right? What Yoshiyahu did not know was that in the mosaic floors that people had in their homes, they had concealed idols. On the doors, they had concealed idols. And so even though his secret police would go out checking, is there anyone worshipping idols in the land of Israel, they would trick them as well. They'd come into the house, they'd open the double doors, and when you opened the doors, the two sides of the idol would break apart, and you couldn't tell it was an idol. And so Yoshiyahu was confident, I've brought the people to a level of piety, and no way that a sword could pass through our land. He did not ask the Navi. And so Yoshiyahu is standing there with his men, fully confident that Paro will not enter the land. And Paro tells his archers, there's the king, aim for him. And 300 arrows pierce his body. And Yoshiyahu is standing there, and the people want to learn from him, and they hear his last whisper. He says, Tzadik hu Hashem, Hashem is righteous, kifi hu mariti. I rebelled against him. I should have asked his prophet. I have the prophet here. Why didn't I ask him? And that's when Yirmiyahu started eulogizing Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu died, Tzadik hu Hashem, kifi hu mariti. One of the lamentations we will say on Tisha B'Av is, Vaikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. How Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah the prophet, wept and eulogized over Yoshiyahu's death. Yes, Yonatan.
And didn't Yirmiyahu tell him actually that he's not right?
According to one version, he also told him don't go, yes. Yirmiyahu told him not to go and he didn't listen.
Nobody was at the Yirmiyahu.
Yes.
No, so the first verse, again, you should have checked. That's why he punished him. Like, you know, don't worry about a mistake.
Okay. Levi, you were saying something?
I just said, why did Yirmiyahu tell him? Hey, don't.
So, right. Karati. So here, Yirmiyahu says, Tzadik Hashem kifi umariti. This is a quote. The Jewish people at large are saying, we're suffering, but it's our fault. But it's actually a quote of the final words of Yoshiyahu. Shimuna cholamim. Listen, all the nations. Betulotai uvachurai. Halechu vashevi. I'm going to tell you a scary thought. We say no one's indispensable, right? They say the graveyard is filled with indispensable people.
What's indispensable?
People think you can't afford to lose him. Indispensable means the world can't last without him. Dispense is to throw out. Indispensable is you can't throw him out. You can't lose him. Yet the world goes on without those people. But that's not so. People have responsibility, and they have responsibility to realize their potential. And the more a person grows, the more responsibility they have. Yoshiyahu, when he goes out to war and makes a mistake, well, the continuation of the verse is, Look at my pain. Look at how many young men and young women were taken into captivity. So Yoshiyahu makes a mistake. It's not a personal mistake. It's a mistake that the whole Jewish people weep over. We have a whole chapter in Eicha about Yoshiyahu's death. And we might like to deceive ourselves and say, Yoshiyahu was the king, he had a responsibility. What does that have to do with me? Well, a number of years ago, there was the daughter of a friend of mine who was dating a young man. And that young man was not to the liking of her parents. But she liked him. So her parents asked me to talk to her. So I said, why do you think you can interfere if your daughter likes a guy and wants to marry him? And they said to me one of the most powerful lines I ever heard. They said to me, you're thinking of her and him. And we're thinking about their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all the generations that'll come. She is just the beginning of a great line of children. Don't just think of her. If she marries this guy, they had serious claims against them. They had reasons why they thought she shouldn't marry him. But they said, then we are very concerned about what type of children he will bring up, what type of grandchildren, what type of home. So sometimes we think about ourselves. You know, it's me. I'm not Yoshiyahu the king. Okay, maybe. But you know what? I am the progenitor, Be'ezrat Hashem, of the whole continuation of my family. My children, my grandchildren. Sometimes we give ourselves an out. Does it really make a difference? When I was a youngster, I came to Rabbi Pesin Zatzal, who I learned by, and I said, you know, I've seen there's quite a large amount of opinions in halacha that say it's okay to go and work and it's okay to stay work and learn only part of your day. And he said to me, okay. I said, does Rebbe agree with me or not agree with me? And he said four words. Who said for you? Who said that those opinions are right for you? I said, you're asking me, do such opinions exist? That's a theoretical question. You're asking me about your life and what your responsibility is? Who said you have a right to do that? It's because of those four words that I'm here tonight. I don't know if I'd be observant. I don't know where I'd be. It's because he said those four words. He said, you have a responsibility to teach. You have a responsibility to learn. Who said you have a right to turn your back on all that and go and say, there's an opinion and I'm going to rely on that opinion. Opened my eyes to a whole new view, vantage point on life. What's my responsibility to the Jewish people, to my children, to the future? When we read about Yoshiyahu, it sounds tragic because he was the king and the continuation of the pasuk. Look what happened. He made a mistake. It's not only he that died, the whole destruction of the temple, the exile of the Jewish people, children murdered, women murdered, elders murdered, streams of blood. Look at what Yoshiyahu did. He made one mistake, and look at how the Jewish people paid for that mistake. So we walk away thinking, oh, Yoshiyahu, wait a second. What about us? We also have a pretty big responsibility on our shoulders. We have a responsibility of what we can affect in the people we know, in the children, in the future, etc. Everyone has responsibility. As Rav Pesin said to me, who said for you? Rav Pesin would mince words. If he could say it in one word, he didn't say it in two. And if he could say it in two, he didn't say it in three. It was always like pulling teeth to get another word out of him. He'd want me to think. So he wouldn't spell out what he was saying. And then he'd look at me like, did you understand yet? I'd be like, no. And I'd ask for a better explanation. But back to our point, this is a very powerful responsibility for each of us. Karati lam ahavai hey marimuni. A year ago, they were sitting here, an alumnus of Machon Meir. And he said to the students, we asked him to give tips on making Aliyah. And he said to us, he said, when he was contemplating Aliyah, Everyone started pressuring him. His parents said, what'll be about us? And his grandparents said, what'll be about us? And his brothers said, we'll have family outings and you won't be there. And everyone was pressuring him. And he said it took him a long time to realize that, what about my children and my grandchildren and the future I have to build? You guys are all asking me what'll be about the higher part of the family tree, my parents, my grandparents, my uncles, my aunts, my brothers. Wait a second, what about what I'm producing down there, the continuation of my family? What am I building? I have a responsibility to them. I have to bring them where they can grow. He said today he looks at his siblings, he looks at their kids, he looks at his kids here in Eretz Yisrael, the way they've grown. He looks and he says, I made the right decision. But he said to the guys, it's a point to think about. When you think about where you're going and where you're building your life, remember your responsibility to the children and grandchildren, to the future you have to build. Back to Eicha. Karati lam ahavai, hey marimuni. I called my lovers, says Jerusalem. What's the deal with a lover? A lover gives the feeling, you are precious, you are dear, I love you. No, you don't. A lover is about a short-term relationship. A lover is about mutual benefit for a time, and then when things get tough, that's where you need a marriage. Marriage is about handling things when it's hard. Lovers are about everything's nice. We can date, we can have a good time together, everything's great. But what happens when things fall apart? Karati lamaavai, Jerusalem said, I called my lovers. Hey, marimuni, they turned on me. Kanayus kenai, bayir gavahu. We had peace treaties. We had agreements with the neighboring nations. We would import idols from them. We would export idols to them. We made all kinds of deals with Egypt and our neighboring countries. But when things fell apart, so then they turned on us. The people who actually had treaties with us outsmarted us and joined the Romans with Titus and Aspasianus and gave them the necessary support so that they could lay siege on Jerusalem. And so my elders, my leaders would die within the city for lack of food. The city that is always the place of commerce had no food. Kivikshu ochel lamo veyashivu et nafsham. The elders and the leaders and the Kohanim in their quest for food died searching for food. As the Medrash tells us, there were people hiding from the Romans in a cave. And they sent out one person to look for food. And he went searching, and he couldn't find food. So they sent him out again, and they said, so bring us a body of a dead person. At least we'll have something to eat. He went out, and the only body he found was the body of his own father, lying in the street. So he dragged his father's body and buried it. And came back to the cave and told the other people in the cave, I couldn't find anybody. So another person in the cave said, I'll go searching. So they all waited. And the person came back and he gave out pieces of flesh for everyone to eat. And as they were eating, the first guy said to the second guy, he said, where'd you find a body? I was searching throughout, I couldn't find any bodies. And the second guy said, as the first guy is munching, the second guy says to him, you're right, I didn't find a body either. He says, so what are we eating? He says, what I did find was a place in the ground with fresh soil. Someone, a few minutes ago, just buried a body. And so I dug up that body from the grave, and that's what we're eating now. And the person realized that he was, in fact, eating his own father. So Chazal tell us the famine hit them in ways that they devastation, as the Navi describes, that two women came to the king during the siege in the first temple period, and one woman said to the king, save me, and the king said, what's the problem? And she says, this other woman and I, we had a deal, and yesterday when we were dying of famine, so she told me, let's cook your child and eat it. And then tomorrow we'll cook her child and eat hers. And so yesterday we ate my child, the woman says. And today she's keeping her child to herself. She's not going to share him with me. And so the Navi is going to describe to us the devastation of famine. When they interviewed people after the Holocaust, they asked them, what was the most difficult thing you had to contend with? And people said a shocking thing, which you also see in Viktor Frankl's, what's the name of his book?
Man's Search for Meaning.
Man's Search for Meaning. He says, they got so used to death. You could be sitting in a clinic talking to someone, and then the person dies, and a minute later they had to carry him to the cart to the crematory, and they'd carry him by his legs as his head went bobbing. A minute ago you spoke to that head that was a human being, but they got so used to death that they were callous. They were able to take the person they were just talking to and carry the warm body up the steps as the head bounces up the steps. Total disrespect for the human being. But there was one thing you never got used to. They got used to death, they got used to fear, they got used to disrespect, they got used to everything but hunger. There's one thing that the human being can never get used to, and that is hunger. And that's what destroyed us, that's what devastated us in the destruction of the first and second temple. Re'ei Adonai kitzar li me'ai chomar maru. Hashem, see! See my afflictions. My innards are scorched. Nepach libi bekirbi. My heart turns over within me. Ki maro mariti. And I know this is all a product of my rebellious ways. Michutz shikel acherev babayit kamavet. Outside, people are dying by the sword. And inside, people are dying of famine. And so the angel of death is killing inside and out, just using different tools inside and out. Shame'u ki. The nations heard. Nenachani. The nations heard that I'm sighing. Ein menachem li. No one's comforting me. When Arafat took off his shoe and said, we have to annihilate the Jewish people, we will fight back, and banged it on the table of the UN. When Arafat did that and the world applauded, there were chilling moments in the UN where we could not see the nations standing by us. No! He's a freedom fighter. That's okay. We can stand by him. What's the name of the head of the Palestinian Authority today? Abbas. What's Abbas's history? Do you know?
He has a PhD in Holocaust denial.
What was Abbas doing during the Munich Olympics?
He was Black September.
Why don't you guys check?
He was Black September intel?
Check. Where was Abbas when the Israeli Olympians were murdered? Kolo yevai shame'u ra'ati sasu. My enemies, they saw I was suffering, so they rejoiced. You thought it was a new thing that they give out candies when Jews die? Not a new thing. So they do it in Gaza. They've been doing it throughout our history. Our enemies rejoiced at our suffering. Ki ata asita. I know, says Israel, that this is all your doing. You have made me different than the nations. You tell me I can't eat with them. You tell me I can't drink with them. You tell me I can't marry them. You have made me different. You have made me different as a privilege. But when I put down that privilege, so then my being different ends up being my own downfall. Ki ata asita, you've done it to me. The Jewish people say this in numerous places in Tanakh. You've given us the reward of being the chosen people. But you've used that same reward as a double-edged sword. If we live up to our responsibility, we can have a golden era. And otherwise, the nations hate us for it. The anti-Semitism, it says in Talmud, it says in Rambam, anti-Semitism stems from this concept that we were chosen. Why is it called Sinai, says the Talmud? Because Sinai comes from the word Sina. At Sinai we were chosen, at Sinai hatred came down to the world. Yes?
What? Like there wasn't hatred before?
Hatred of the Jewish people. Yes?
One of the other times where they used that was when there was a war and Moshe says, this war is because of you. Was that also in I don't know if I want to say derogatory, but like an attack? Because Moshe had an attack for to get more protection, right? But here it's kind of just save us.
I'm not following. You're asking about here or you're asking about Moshe?
I'm asking about Moshe.
So Thursday night. Already Friday, yeah. Hey, veita yom karata veyeyu chamoni. You brought my destruction, says the Jewish people, and by the same token, I'm waiting for you to pay them back. Ultimately, I know that you will. Tavo, Yirmiyo concludes the first chapter, and these are chapters by Jewish tradition, right? They're in the order of the alphabets. Chol ra'atam lefanecha ve'olel lamo. Their evil ways should come and be judged before you, and then you will do upon them kasher olalta li al kol peshai, just as you've paid me for my rebellious ways. Ki rabot anchotai velibi davai, because I am so sad, I am sighing so much, and my heart is so weak, concludes the Jewish people with the end of the first chapter.